District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Welcome to District 32 Business Radio, and for this session today, I'm joined by Matt Seed from Inspired IT. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And we are going to talk about technology and how technology can be a real enabler for any business. So technology can be something that a lot of people are a little bit perhaps scared of because they don't understand it. How do you approach that?
Just trying to find, breaking down and speaking to the business owner and finding out what they're wanting out of a business and I suppose life, and also the technology help them to get there. So we try and pair the technology with the business of what they're trying to get out of it. So we look at maybe sort of 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. and then just pair what is required and what can we pull in to reach those milestones that they're setting themselves.
Okay, and they don't necessarily have to understand what you're doing, because that's why, I guess, you know, you're there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's sort of two ways to look at it, and certainly there's two sort of types of business owners. Sometimes they want to know the ins and outs,
okay.
and then sometimes they don't. They're okay. saying, Matt, we want to use your services and business services to get to do this. I don't care how it's done, just do it.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people are moving sort of more that way. You're paying for a service.
Mm-hmm.
You want the uptime, you want the backup, you want the security, you want the products or everything.
Sure.
Or downtime is well, you want uptime.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't want the downtime. So we're just paying for you for that, and we'll mm-hmm. keep them running.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, in that sense, IT is so massive now with all the considerations. You mentioned a few there, you know, talking about your security and the safety of the information, having no downtime. And it's something that a lot of business owners just, they can't have any space in their already busy brains for that.
Yeah, I mean, downtime costs money.
Mm.
So I mean, if you sort of multiply that by sort of your staff down, then you're losing money. I mean, that's where it hurts, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So like you say, utilizing technology can really help businesses grow, become efficient, and you sort of spend more time or less time doing admin, more time engaging with your clients is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing what you're in business to do rather than trying to understand how your computer system works.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of business owners generally go into business because they are good at doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
And that thing is not IT sometimes. And I mean, sometimes you get to a point where your business, it's no point you spending time fixing an IT issue or looking into setting up a new user or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Your time is best going out either winning more work or going to see your clients or working on the business,
mm-hmm.
not in it.
And you mentioned about growing your business through technology. So tell us about some of the ways that technology can help you do that.
We predominantly use Office 365. So that's okay. Microsoft's cloud product.
Okay.
So that we focus heavily on that. Again, its first phase is really move email into the cloud. So
okay.
a few years ago, you would have an on-prem Exchange server. That's generally not the go anymore. You move right. it into Exchange Online, then you can then purchase a different Office 365 plan, and then you can store your data around that, and then you can really work anywhere. So you don't need an internet connection. You're not office bound.
Okay.
You don't need a VPN to be able to connect in. All your data is securely stored. You can have two-factor, which I mean is a big thing nowadays because phishing and security is a massive risk to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, a lot of businesses also need to consider is that they might not care about their data being hacked, but your clients do.
Sure.
So implementing things like two-factor, having antivirus, make sure you're patched regularly, and then with Office 365 you can do some really cool things, and you can monitor if it's logged in from China when it knows you're in Perth, and it will automatically okay. identify that and
wow.
unblock it,
uh-huh.
Alert you for mass copies, mass deletes. So there's really things that you can sort of really set up for mm-hmm. alerting now, which is a few years ago you would have had to pay big dollars for that.
Okay.
And now it's you can just turn it on.
Okay. So you said you didn't need to have an internet connection Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got my laptop that I use and plug into a dock, and I've got a dock at home, dock at work, and then I can sort of work. And as long as that file is downloaded, then I can work on it. And then as soon as I connect back to the internet, it passes those changes up. We also use a product called Microsoft Teams, which is it's a big sort of Office 365 is all about collaborating as a team. It sort of keeps emails empty. So we don't use email for internal chat anymore. We just instant message. So a few years ago, Slack came out and was a very big popular product.
Mm-hmm.
Teams has come out and competed against that and is now overtaken for the number of daily users. That's for me, that's the focal point in 365. All the applications in the suites hook into that. And there's some awesome things you can do with that. I love it. And again, for meetings and chats and polls and just having fun in it. Because I say you're working 8 hours a day and you need to have fun in some of the business because it gets a bit boring otherwise.
So that's like what you would maybe have termed 10 years ago an intranet.
I mean, your intranet is still there. But yeah, it's just a different way of working. And I think the younger generation that's coming into to work are expecting you to have these applications and these easier ways to communicate and collaborate and have fun. And I think it's a good thing. I think business over the last sort of 10, 15 years has been sort of very same in some regards, but there's some products out there that are really cool. And for us, Office 365 is the cornerstone of that. And I say we love it and we're putting it into majority of our businesses that we support and we can scale on it as well. So you only pay for what you use.
So depending on how many employees and...
So it's a license fee. So 1 month you have, I don't know, 50 users. Then next month you have 60, you pay for 60, then you drop it off as you grow. So
that's clever.
Yeah.
And is that something that perhaps some businesses who have sort of interactive clients that you can also allow clients to access as well?
Yeah, you can. So you can invite external users. This is still improving. There's a good roadmap over the next year around how this is going to work. But yeah, you can invite users to access files. You can now invite users to chat into Microsoft Teams and collaborate on external projects. One thing that we're trialing with an external business at the moment is they run projects. So we set up a channel within Teams and then we invite their external consultants in to chat and collaborate on this. So it just means that they can just chat, and as those consultants drop off or move on, that information is still retained in their data. So they can always access it.
So you can look back at the conversation.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's with emails, you have your trace and you have your inbox and your sent box, and people use that as a filing system. And so it is important to have it, and so that can do that too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, I mean, you might have IP. So you want to retain your IP, you want to control your data, and you also want to control your staff. So another thing you can do within SharePoint and 365 is you can encrypt data, so they can only access it with that logon. And if it gets taken off, i.e. off a USB, it's encrypted, so they'll never be able to access it. So there's things that are really clever things. A few years ago, you'd have to pay a lot for that, but now you just turn it on, and then, you can encrypt all and protect all your data.
And do you find businesses are quite open to this concept of working on the cloud at the moment?
I mean, I suppose I don't like the word cloud. Because it's, I mean, all it is effectively a computer in somewhere else in some regards.
Not a cloud.
No. but it's, I think it, people are becoming more familiar with and more comfortable with it. I would say that people still think it's more secure to have a server in the corner of the room, which probably hasn't been patched for 10 years, which it's not. So having it in the cloud is a lot more secure. And I say it's the way it's going, and having, you're not locked to an office, which is the main purpose.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, again, that's like you talk about places being somewhere to work, that people want to work because the environment and the IT means you have fun and collaboration. And I guess it's the same with being able to work from anywhere. People want to be able to work from home or to work from an office or a coffee shop, but have all the information there with them that you can access as they need it.
Rather
than have to take all that work home with you. I remember taking work home with me from the office because I thought I would need it in the evening, but to be able to have it all just there as you would is so valuable.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you think, yeah, I mean, if you lost some of that documentation or whatever that you printed out, and you know, from a business perspective, having your IP protected in a secure, and you can access anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fully logged as well, so you literally will know who's copied, who's renamed, who's accessed, when. It's so easy to get all that information out. So it gives a lot of power back to businesses, but it also gives a lot of flexibility to the staff. I mean, ultimately, you're going to trust your staff. I think I love it. It's great. I think it's the best thing for any businesses to implement.
And is that something that you can easily sort of transition a company from a server situation in their business? You can do the transition to Office 365, is that?
Yeah, we do a lot, and I do it a lot personally. I mean, it's quite timely in the sense that Windows 7 is now end of life in January 2020.
Okay.
So yes, you have to get onto, you wouldn't go Windows 8, but you go Windows 10.
Yeah.
So you have to do that, otherwise it's no longer patched from January 2020.
Okay.
Server, again, Server 2008 and 2008 R2 is end of life in January. So there is that migration ticking time bomb that has to happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of sort of products still, or businesses still running Windows 7, so we need to get you off that as soon as possible.
And how does it work with all the data and the files that they have on this hard drive? How does that all go into the cloud? Is that migration?
Yeah, migration. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want a job?
May sound like I know what I'm talking about.
So we would plan the migration. I suppose trying to find out what they're needing from the business sense, and then planning the migration for their requirements.
Okay. And does that involve typically downtime?
Not as much as you think nowadays. And we say we do a lot of Exchange migrations, and generally the only downtime is probably about 5 minutes per user now. So, and that's with all the data migrated. So it's just a matter of switch over a profile. And there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes, but ultimately downtime hurts businesses. So we try and reduce that a lot. And I think we've developed a good process in doing it.
Okay, so Office 365 is the kind of the one that, I guess, is for commercial, but in terms of Apple and the iCloud, is that something you can also use for a business?
Yeah, I mean, we've got clients that use Mac.
Okay.
So Microsoft's 365 can run on any OS, Android, Mac OS, whatever, and looks exactly the same.
Okay.
Very 99% the same functions.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose it's hardware agnostic. It doesn't really matter what it's on.
Mm-hmm.
You get the same functionality.
I love that term, hardware agnostic. That's a great term. That's good. No, I understand it amazingly. We should do a dictionary as well. We should do an IT dictionary in another podcast edition.
I try and simplify it because there's a lot of a lot of words that it's quite complex IT, and it's, do you know, to break it down to the end user. They just want it to work, it's just breaking it down in those senses. And IT is complicated enough as well. So again, trying to set everything up as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's all right when you're a one or two user startup. When you get to 5, 10, to 20, to 50, it gets a lot more complex very easily. So just try and set it up as easy as possible. It's allowing you to scale.
And is that something that you have to be aware of when you're selecting the products? You know, if you're a new company and you have, there's just maybe one or two of you, do you have to then consider what you need in the future to be able to take that leap to it, or is it fairly flexible?
I mean, I've always tried to think of sort of times 10 of where you want to be, because, you know, if you can sort of, if you're going to get to that, then you can use the products that you put in.
Okay.
I mean, I've always a big believer of, the poor man pays twice. So try and go for the best products that suit you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they might be a little bit higher than what you can afford, but, you know, it'll pay dividends in the long run.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense, because you're thinking small, but I guess it's all about...
Yeah, I'm always think big.
Think
and
big.
I always want more. And for me as well, nothing's never perfect, so there's always time to get to improve and get better and look at different products as well.
Which is good. You often find people within the IT sort of industry that they are very... they have a passion for one particular product, but I guess it's important to see that different things are good at... different products are good for different types of businesses.
We try and generally specialize, I'm gonna contradict myself there. We try and specialize in Office 365.
Okay.
So if clients come on and say, look, we're using Google or G Suite,
yeah,
we either say, look, we'll support you on 365, but yeah, we won't support you on Google purely because it takes time to train on 365, and also from our staffing perspective as well, it's harder to become a generalist, not a specialist,
sure.
And we're trying to sort of specialize in 365.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's important.
It makes sense. And in terms of a company who would get so big that they want to outsource IT as a function, is that something that you find people can do easily? Do people want to hold on to that element of their business because, you know, the success of the business is often very highly tied up in the success of the IT? Is that something people can hand over easily?
I'm a big believer of outsourcing. So you know what your skills are. If you don't, either you hire internally or you outsource. So like bookkeeping is a prime example. You outsource that. Outsource your accounting. It's IT, you outsource that. And then you let your core business function on what they're good at. And it allows you to, sometimes business owners are worried that look at the cost, but you also, it frees you up to do so much more and focus what you're good on and growing your business.
And then in terms of being an outsourced IT company, how many emails do you get a day or a week about people forgetting their password?
We get a few, and sort of more dealt with the help desk elements, okay. But we try and empower the staff as well. So there's things that we can set up with 365 so that they can password reset themselves.
Really?
So they don't have to worry or wait for us to be able to support it.
Okay.
So again, it's just trying to utilize those elements. But they normally find after a public holiday or the weekend that there's a lot more than it is midweek.
Of course, you have to be prepared, I guess.
Yeah, and then also passwords now as well. Have to be a lot more complex. And then obviously it's two-factor authentication now, which as well. So Microsoft is trying to move to a no password process.
Really?
So it'll be facial recognition, okay. Everything like that. So again, with single sign-on. So it all passes through one password and account. So if you disable one, it disables all the other ones. So that's the long-term strategy.
So the actual the computer screens are face enabled.
Yeah, well, what my laptop is. Yeah, so there's things that they can do
face
that, and there's fob keys that you can get now that have passwords stored. So you attach that to it, and it'll just log into everything for you for every device. So this is coming out. It's out now, but it's going to gain traction over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Because they're trying to move away from passwords.
Okay, we really are living in the future, Matt.
I love tech. I love it, and I live and breathe it, and I think it gets me excited, and I think you have to embrace it because it's not going away.
Absolutely, great advice. Thanks so much, Matt Seed from Inspired IT, for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts, 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday, on District 32, the power of connection.